Okay, we're on Chesamid Aleph. If you want to know where we're at, look at the wide lines, and go back seven lines before the lines become wide. So that's going to be 8A, 2 or 3, I'm not exactly sure. This is our new question. We just whetted your appetite yesterday. We'll review this first part. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says the following statement. If a man says to a woman, Hiskat Sheli B'mona, marry me and I'm going to give you 100 coins. And what happened? Or dinars. 100 of them. But what does he end up doing? V'nasan la dinar. He only gives her one. So is he married to her or not? He said 100. And he gives her one. So, Rabbi Lazar argues with Tony. Harezu mikudeshes. It is a good kiddushin. And Tony's looking and saying, why? Well, wait a minute. It is kiddushin, but there's one more word we have to say. It's a good kiddushin, but v'yashlim, and he's got to pay the rest of the 100, the other 99. He pays it at a later time. Of course, well let's say the later time is a week later. So look at the notes. The woman is assumed to have accepted the dinar for kiddushin on condition that the man later makes good on his stipulation to pay the rest of the money. If the man fails to eventually pay the entire sum, the kiddushin would retroactively be void.
In other words, when installments and then never quite finish.
Well, that's so. As we'll see in a minute, let's read a little bit more. And we will see the complete explanation. Gemara asks, my timer, what's the reason why this is a good kiddushin? And more importantly, that the kiddushin takes effect immediately. On Sunday, he says, I'll marry you for 100 dinars. He gives her 1 dinar. And then a week later, he gives her the other 99. When is she considered married to him? It's very important. She's married a week before when he gave her the first dinar. Difference being, what if in between she goes and fools around with another man, she gets killed. Okay, the marriage is retroactively from the time he gave that first dinar. Warren wants to know why. Let it be when you pay the entire amount. So Gemara says, Kivanda Amar La Mana, since he said to her, Amana 100, he said to her, I'm marrying you to give you 100, and obviously he ain't an idiot, and he turns around, V'yayv La Dinar, and he gives her a dinar. Now let's think for a minute. A guy says, I'm going to marry you, I'm going to give you 100 of these. And now he gives her the first one. How do we understand what he's doing? We know he can't be foolish. So it must be the way he worded it is trying to convey the following message. He's command Amar La. It's as if he said the magic words, Almenas, Domi. It's as if he said Almenas. Almenas means on condition that I pay the rest of the promised money. So what if a man would have overtly said, I am marrying you. Here is the first installment. I want to marry you on the condition that I will subsequently give you the next 99. When you make any kind of marriage ceremony, legal transaction, as we'll call it, and it's done on a condition, so the kiddushin takes effect, or anything takes effect immediately, with the assumption that you will fulfill that condition. Now, if you didn't want to marry her now, and you want to marry her later, why are you giving her anything now? And saying anything now? If you want to marry her next week, then wait till next week. The fact that you're saying it now is you want to be married to her now. You don't have all the money now. Okay, so you say, okay, I'm marrying you now on the condition that I will give you the rest of the money later. When you do that already, that is acceptable. Let's take a look at the notes here. When a man says, become betrothed to me with a mana, his words are usually understood to mean that he will give a mana as the kesef kiddushin, as the money of the kiddushin. The money through which it will be affected. In this case, however, the man makes his declaration and then hands the woman only a dinar. Rabbi Elazar thus argues that his actions indicate that he does not mean to pledge the mana as the money of kiddushin, but as a payment which will accompany the kiddushin. I'm saying a very important idea over here. If a man would say, I want to marry you, and the marriage for kiddushin, the kesev that will affect the kiddushin is 100. If he says to Kes that the effect of Kedusha is 100, they ain't married till he give her 100. But and therefore, if a man says only, you know, I'm marrying you and I'm going to give you 100, then she's expecting to see the 100. But when he turns around and right at the same moment he says 100, he gives her 1. Well, then he obviously did not plan on the Kedushin money to being 100. So what was he really saying? He's saying, I'm going to marry you by giving you 1 dinar. But I'm making a condition. A condition is the second aspect. The Kedushin is on this 1 dinar. Finished. But I'm making a conditional Kedushin that it really will only take effect, it will be effective now if I fulfill the condition, which is a gift of 99 dinar, or something else. So the 99 is not the money of Kiddushin. If the guy says like this, I'm going to give you $100 for your Kiddushin, and then he gives her 1, then they're not married. She's saying, okay, fine, when you finish giving me the rest, then we'll be married. But if he says, when he says 100 and just turns around and gives you the 1 right then and there, then we know he's not an idiot. So what he is saying is, I want to marry you for the 1, and the next 99 is a condition that has to be fulfilled in order for the marriage to take place. And whenever we have any kind of transactions with those kinds of conditions, we go back to the, once the condition is fulfilled, then we go retroactively to the point of the kinyan where that kinyan happens. Now that could create all kinds of problems if you don't fulfill that condition. That can make life very difficult, and people have to sort of be in a little holding pattern till they see how things play themselves out.
So, excuse me, if like you said before, if the woman fools around in the meantime,
we don't know what's going to be the story yet. It would be a good idea for her to not get those other 99.
She can't be held accountable.
Yes, well, we don't know what's going to happen. It's a dangerous game for her to play. She's saying, well, I don't know if he's going to give the 99. And I got a gigolo in the hand is better than a 99 in the bush.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's a risky game, because if he comes in with the 99, she retroactively has been a married woman. So in any, whenever these kinds of conditional transactions, you better wait. It's advisable to wait to see what's going to happen with the conditions to know what the retroactive state is going to be. And that is all based on everything that we just said right now from Rav Elazar is based on this important fundamental point that Rav Huna is going to say. It's all based on this point of what? Rav Huna says the name of Rav. Kol ha'omer almenas. Whenever a person makes any kind of transaction and says the contraction will take effect on condition that a certain stipulation is satisfied. When you say that, it's ka'imar, what you mean is, may achshav domi, that it should take effect immediately. Whenever you say, I want this and this to happen on condition that such and such will be, well, why are you doing that? Because you're really saying is, I want it to take effect now, and it takes effect now retroactively when the condition is fulfilled later on. That's the way we have to look at all these conditional things. It's not that...
Could she actually go to the chuppah? It's still like a 99?
Well, we're not talking about a chuppah now. We're talking the days where there's only a kiddushin. Remember, when there's only kiddushin, she's not living with him as husband and wife. It's only step one. It's very hard to do a nisuin on condition because you're already living with her.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Because once you make the nisuin and they're living like husband and wife, if he doesn't fulfill the kiddushin, I mean, that's ridiculous. You've already been living like husband and wife. The erisin, kiddushin, all it really is saying is you can't go to anybody else. Yeah. Okay, so we'll wait and see what happens. Right? That's the difference.
And if he reneges, she's not a divorce woman.
She's not a divorced woman because there was no kiddushin to begin with. There was a condition. It was a conditional kiddushin. If the condition, it's like if let's say you sell your house on condition to somebody, right?
Yeah.
And the condition is that they're going to do X, Y, and Z by a certain date. What happens if they don't? Do we say that you bought it back from her?
No,
you say the sale was null and void. It never happened. Same thing. If he does not fulfill the condition, it's like the condition, that it's like the kiddushin never ever happened. That's the point.
Rabbi, where does it say 7 days?
Who said 7 days?
A week,
I mean.
Who said? I just gave as an example.
Oh, just an example.
I just said, I don't know if he said.
Later could mean anything. Later could mean.
Yeah, so that's a problem. So the woman would kind of, it's a problem. Because what if he waits a week, a month?
Yeah.
Then so what's going to be?
Could have no intention.
It wouldn't be a good thing for a woman to accept such a kiddushin because you are totally at his mercy. But that is the reality.
Yeah, later.
Okay, that is the statement of Rabbi Lazar as explained by the Gemara using the principle of Rav Huna. Okay, the Gemara is going to ask a question now from a brisa that seems. Now remember, Rabbi Lazar is an Amora. He's a latter rabbi. We're not going to ask the question from a Brisa. So if the Brisa says different than Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar's got a problem. So the Brisa that's going to be brought appears to say differently than Rabbi Lazar. May Savei, the Gemara asks the following question based on what a Brisa says. A man says to a woman the following, Hiskatshili bimona. He says, get married to me for 100. And what does he do now? V'hayamayna v'haylech. And now he is counting out the miter. He says, okay, I'd like you to be married to me for 100 dinars. Now he goes, and here's one, and here's two, and here's three, and here's four, and he's counting out. Okay. Now, in the middle of the count, can the man or the woman back out of this deal? Veratza echad mehem lachsor. And one of them wishes to back out of the transaction in the middle. Let's say, here's number 18, is number 19. The wife says, wait a minute. And she's taking it. He says, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to be married to you. Or the guy says, looking at her, says, you know, she's not as beautiful as I thought she was. I changed my mind. I don't want to be married with you. Now, it says I'm carrying you for 100. He already gave her the first coin. So can they back out? Now, if they can't, and if they want to back out, that means there never was a kiddushin until when?
Till
the last one. Look what the Brisa says. Afilur bediner ha'achron. When he's up to 99. Has not yet given the last dinar. Guess what? Harishus biyado. The ability is in either person's hand to get out of the deal. Now the fact that that option is available, what does that say about the fact that he's been giving her the money?
It means nothing.
It means nothing until what? A guy says, I'm going to give you 100 for kiddushin, right? And now what happens? I'm at 99. So until she gets the 100th, it's not like this was an on condition. It doesn't seem, from this price, it doesn't seem that this is a condition of kiddushin, but rather it's the actual money of kiddushin. I'll marry you for 100. That means the marriage only takes place when I give you the whole 100. So that's clearly not like Rabbi Lazar. You see how it's not like Rabbi Lazar? According to Rabbi Lazar, once you give the first one, you're married. Now the rest is just a condition that has to be fulfilled. The bride's saying, that's not a condition that has to be fulfilled. It is what he obviously means the whole kiddushin is 100 until you get the 100. It's not a kiddushin. Okay, now, so that's a problem. So Gemara is going to give answer number one. Gemara says, well, you know, that price is a specific case. That's a specific case. And what is that price dealing with? It's when he did what? Let's say the explanation before the answer. He says, I'm going to get married to you with this $100. Takes out of his wallet. See 100 crisp bills. He says, I'm going to get married to you with this $100. Now he starts counting out. Well, if he's saying with this $100, now we'd understand clearly it's talking about where the kiddushin was made on the $100. Our case, Rabbi Lov says, I'll marry you if I give you $100. Right? Let's take a look in the notes here. In such a case, she would expect to receive the entire mana before giving herself over as his wife. In Rabbi Lazar's case, however, the man said merely, become betrothed to me with a mana. Thus, here, she will intend to become betrothed with the first dinar so long as she eventually receives the rest of the money. So there's a difference between saying, I'll marry you for 100 dinar, and now here's one dinar. Or the guy saying, I'm marrying you with this 100 dinars, and now he's starting, you know, let's just count to make sure I have 100 over here. So until he gives that clearly he's saying, I wanted a $100 kiddushin, not a one dinar kiddushin. So that's the difference. That's a reasonable answer. But the problem is, this brisa has a second part to the brisa. And when we look at the second part of the brisa, we will see it's untenable to give such an answer to say that the first part of the brisa is speaking about where he said, I'm going to give you this 100. You have to look at the seifa. Sometimes you don't understand. You know, in other words, the line of brisa says, well, the guy says, get married for me for 100. He starts counting out, they can back out. So Rabbi Elazar put a spin on it and say, well, it means that he says this $100. Well, you know, if that's all by itself and there's nothing following, maybe we could agree. But if there's another statement right after this statement, we have to make sure there's consistency, and there's a problem with that, as we'll see now. Gemara asks, but ha midaseifa, ha midaseifa b'manazu. The problem is, in the second part of the seifa, it says the case very similar to the first, but adds the words, if I marry you with this 100. The seifa, the second part, says I'll marry you with this 100. Now how did we want to answer the first part? The first part says, I'm going to marry you for 100. It says, well, it's talking about what he meant with this amount. But the problem is the seifa does say categorically with this amount. Well, if that's the seifa, then what was the ratio? All right, that's the problem. That's what it's hard me to say for b'mana zu. Right, look at this. That the brisa has to be the exact pay without specifying. Look, because the seifa clause of the brisa explicitly says with this money. So if the seifa specifically says this money, the ratio can't be the same thing. In other words, if you look at the brisa without any commentary, it says like this. If a man says, I'm going to marry you with a hundred, and then counts out, it's not a kiddushin. Okay? Then the next brisa says, if a guy says, I'll marry you with this 100, it's not a kiddushin. Now, you can't say that the first case was speaking about a case where it says this 100, because that's the second case. So therefore, what's the first case? The first case is even if you don't say this 100, it's still not a good kiddushin. The whole answer of Allah wants to say, oh, well, that's only because he said this 100. But that can't be what the ratio is, because the seifa says that exactly. You can't make the ratio say the same thing. So therefore, since the first case said with 100, second case says with this 100, you can't turn around and say that the first case means this 100, because the ratio is saying the identical things. And that's what he's asking. Resha b'mana stam. It's got to be the first clause has to be dealing with a case of a mana without specifying, right? So then, how can we reconcile Rebbe Lazar's ruling to say no? In other words, in the second clause, which the Gemara is going to cite below, the words "this mana" appear explicitly in the Brisa's text. In the second clause, there can thus be no doubt that in this case, the first clause. Or in that case, the man promised a woman a specific money that he actually showed to her. The first clause of the brisa, however, does not make mention of the words this. Rather states only that a man said, become to both of me with a mana. The first clause thus appears to deal with a case in which the man did not point out the specific mana that he would give her. And it nevertheless rules that kedusha does not take effect until she receives the entire sum. This ruling is thus at odds with Rabbi Lazar's position that kedusha takes effect immediately, providing the man later gives her the rest of the money. So it seems the Bryce is saying, regardless if you say this or you don't say this, the Kedushin ain't a Kedushin, she gets all 100. So that's the problem with Rebbe Lazar. So, because look at the Sefer now. We're finishing up. We're concluding the question now. In other words, they kind of said the question before they gave you the exact words. Because look at what the Sefer says. The Sefer that Bryce says, Amar Lov, he says to her, No. Hiskat shali b'manazu. Marry me with this mana. With this one, with this 100. Now the Bryce says a few other things though. V'nimtza mana chaser dinar. You see that the, at the end of the day, the 100 isn't 100, it's 99. He counted and it was only 99. Or let's say there was 100, but instead of the one being a silver coin, Odinar Shel Nechoshes, one of the 100 was a copper coin, meaning not of that value at all. Then all of a sudden, Ein Mekudeshes, it's not a Kedushin. Well, clearly that case is speaking where he said this amount. And it's not a Kedushin because he actually didn't give her the 100. But that clearly said this amount. The first one didn't say this amount. So how can you say the first case means this amount? Or we're not finished with the Brisa. Not finished with the second part of the Brisa. Still quoting. Or what if it's a dinar ra? What if he finds a coin, but it's a flawed dinar? It's smashed. It's broken. It's not, you know, sometimes you get a coin, you know, someone gives you a change, the whole thing's like wrecked up. Well, in all those cases, look what the Brisa says. But what if you find a flawed coin in the 100? The Brisa says, "Harezu mikadashes." It's a good marriage. Just for Yaakov, just exchange the flawed coin for a better coin. That's the whole Brisa. But what do you see in the Brisa? The Brisa specifically says we're speaking in a case where he said, "This is the 100 I'm going to give you." How could you say the first part where it doesn't say this, to say it means this? If it meant this, it would have said it, because the second half said this. So the first half can't mean that. So what do we do? So the answer, so he has an answer. A tricky answer. He says, "Lo, no. You know what? This is how I would interpret the Brisa. This is the way Rebbe Loza's going to interpret the Brisa. Still not a problem." He's not like this. Reisha v'seifa the Amma Baranasu. No, the first part and the second part are talking about where he said this amount. So there's no question. Wait a minute. But why does the first one not say this, second one say this? He says, that's not a problem. It's a stylistic way of the author. Uperush she ka mefaresh. The end of the Brisa is merely explaining what the first clause said. Sometimes an author will write a first clause very briefly and then elaborates on the point in the second half. The second half is just an extension of the first half, and it's an elaboration. Meaning to say that what? If you give, let's see what he's gonna explain it now. He says, Rotza Echman Lachsar, if somebody wants to back out. This is all the ratio now. But it means it wants to back out. Afilu b'dinar ha'achron, even in the last dinar. Harishus b'yadar, that's the end of the first part. Now, you learn the second part to mean the following. Not a separate sentence, but a continuation of the first sentence. And now it means say, Ketzat, so now, tell me exactly what you mean with this cryptic opening statement. The opening sentence says, man said get married to you for 100, until the last penny you can back out. Nagamor, the second part is not a new law, but an explanation of the first law. We just add in one word, Ketzat. So give me the details. Oh, I'll tell you the details. Kigon, for example. The Amar La, the mana, so he says, for example, this mana, and now it goes into the details, and you find out one of them is copper. Or it didn't come out to be 100. In other words, we learn it like this. The Mishnah says, well, man, I'm going to marry you for 100. Till the last coin you can back out. So now the Brisa then says, so what does that mean? Oh, I'll give you an example of what it means. And that's the second half. If I say I'm going to marry for this 100, that's explained the first half. This 100. And now look, we see there isn't 100 there. Because it only was 99. Or it was a copper coin. So it ain't good. So now you can back out because you didn't give him 100. And certainly you could back out if there isn't 100. And that's the point, there isn't 100. So the safe is explaining the ratio. That's all. It's not the ratio is one case, safe is another case. So how could you say, well, if one pirate said this, then the other case didn't say this, it probably meant it, not this. No, that the safe is explaining the ratio. We're not talking about this and not in general. So I have no problem, says Rabbi Loza. It's no problem to me. And now that Rabbi Loza says, you know what? And it even makes sense to interpret it the way I'm saying it. Not only are you going to say, well, that's a pretty dochik answer, that's a pressed answer, I thought it looks like two separate cases. And he's going to say, no, it's even logical to learn it's my way that it's only one case. Why? This is also a logical way to learn the Mishnah, that Brisa, that the second clause is elaborating on the first clause. Why? Because how do you want to learn it? When you ask the question on me, how do you want to learn it? Well, the first case is speaking where you didn't specify the money, and the second case is where you did specify the money. Now, what are you telling me? In the first case, if you don't specify the money, it's not a good Kiddushin. Second case, when you do... In the first case, when you don't specify the money, it's not a good Kiddushin, if you don't give it all right away. And the second one says, if you do specify, it's not good. So they're both not good. Well, wait a minute. The Isal Kadaitach, if you mean to learn the way you want to learn, that Reisha B'monastam, in the first case, he just said 100. He didn't specify any money. And you're saying it's already no good. It's already no good. Now, what is more likely to say it's no good? When you don't specify the 100 or when you do specify the 100? To say it's no good. When you do specify, that's what it's more likely to say. So, because you didn't give the actual 100. Right? But now, if you say the race is where you didn't specify the 100 and you're saying it's already no good, so, hash the b'mana stam lohavi kiddushin, if you're already saying when he doesn't specify it's not a Kiddushin, then what's the second half have to tell me? If you already know when you don't specify it's not a Kiddushin, then b'manazu, me boy, is there any doubt if he says with this amount that it's not a good Kiddushin? I wouldn't need the second half once I have the first half. Therefore, it makes more sense to say that the second half is an explanation of the first half. And as an explanation of the first half, we're only talking about this and we're not talking about in general. So he's saying it's even logical to say it. Right? Okay, let's look at the commentary here. Clearly there's no need for the second clause to explain this for this obvious corollary of the law just stated. Rather, it must be that both clauses are speaking of a case where the man promised her this money, and the function of the second clause is to explain the first. Okay, that's it seems that the logical answer. Gemara says, you know what? You may have an answer to me, but don't tell me it's a logical answer. Because I can explain to you why the first case would be general and the second case would be this, and it's not unnecessary. Why? For this point. Because if you're going to say everything is about this, then you'll make a mistaken notion and think when you don't say this, it could be a good Kiddushin. And therefore, the rabbi, the bride, doesn't want anybody to make such a mistake. Imi Shimha, if you want to say because of your logic... Lo iri, you have no argument at all. Because I could say like this. I know why it says that way. Tana Sefer, the Sefer was written, Legiluye Reisha, to reveal the Reisha. To not make any mistaken assumptions of what the Reisha is talking about. And don't make a mistake and learn it the way you're learning it. And the way you would say your halacha. Shalom Tomar, because if you only have everything is with this, then you may say Shalom. We don't want you to make a mistake and say Reisha b'manazu. The Reisha is speaking about this. That's when it's not a good Kiddushin. Avo b'manastam havi Kiddushin. But if it's in general, you don't say specifically it is a good Kiddushin, because that's what you might make a mistake the way you learned it. So they don't want you to make that mistake. Tana Sefer b'manazu. We say the Seva means this one specifically to imply that what? That the Reisha, Miklal, the Reisha, Bemona, Stam is speaking about regular, and although it's not necessary to have both, but I have both, I can't make any mistakes. In other words, the first rabbi answered, listen, the first one's got to be talking about the same thing, because if the first one's talking about in general, and I already know it's no good, why need the Seva to tell specifically amount it is no good? He says, you know why? Because if you learn it your way, you might think if in general it would be okay. So hey, you have to spell it out both ends so you don't make any mistake. Right? And that's the point. You might think, do we say that it's stam, that the first case where you didn't specify the money, and still, it's not a Kiddushin. And that's how the machlokas, how to learn the Braisa. We thought it was a question of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, no, I can learn the Braisa differently. And then he says, and I'm even going to say it's logical to learn it my way. And the rabbi said, wait a minute. You want to say the price of learning this way, I'll let you say it. But don't tell me it's logical to learn it that way. I can learn it my way, and it's very good logically as well. Okay. Now, Let's just finish up a little loose ends over here. And therefore, the question ultimately is he's saying that's not it. So the Gemara says, no, it's logical to say it my way, not your way. So that was one answer. It's not, and debatable how to learn the Braisa. Ravashi goes bring a second answer. The first answer is basically say, we got to learn the Braisa as a specific case. Ravashi says, I can answer you differently. From the Bryce on his Bechlalana question, because what do you see unique about the Bryce's case different than our original case? What was our original case? The guy says, I'm going to marry for 100 and he gives her one. What was the case of the Bryce? I'm going to marry for 100 and? What was the case of the Bryce? He's counting it out. He didn't just give her one. He was counting it out. If I say, I'm going to marry you for 100 dinars, and here's one. As opposed to, I'm going to marry for 100 dinars. And now let's start counting. 1, 2, 3. You already see there's a difference. We don't have to say this. Even if I don't have the money right in front of me. If I say, I'm going to marry you for 100. Here's one. Okay? And now, right away. 2, 3, 4. Well, what's that saying? It's saying, I don't plan on marrying you until I give you the whole 100. If the guy only gives her one, and he doesn't give her anything else, then we assume that's a condition that has to be fulfilled later on. Right? We don't have to say that all 100 is in front. Say, I'm marrying you with this 100 right here. And now we're counting it out. He doesn't have to do that. He can just say, I'm marrying you for 100. Here's one. Now he whips out of his pocket. 2, 3, 4, 5. So Ravashi gives a whole different answer. We don't have to say that the Bryce is saying specifically he said this. Ravashi Omer, he says simple. Moina v'hoylech shiny. When you're counting out and going, that's different. Once you're counting it all out immediately, then what is her assumption? She wants all of it because she sees he's giving her all of it. And that's the answer. So now we have two answers to the Brisa. Either Brisa is speaking where he showed her the whole 100 in advance. So then that's why he has to give it all. To which there's a debate if that's a reasonable interpretation of the Bryce or not, because we had a question on it. It seems the safe is saying the same thing, and then Rav Loz has to answer, and the Gemara says, no, we're not sure. It's debatable, but this answer is a clean answer. You don't have to change anything. You just say it very simple. When a guy's counting out, she clearly wants the whole 100. That's the difference, as opposed to what? As opposed to she's just giving one. You hear? So we have a statement of Rabbi Lazar that we tried to knock off, that he was successfully defending, but that's not something that's going to be the halacha. So he almost finished the whole sugya. We just got to do another few lines, but we'll leave that for next week.